Turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Again, John is the one, only one of the four Gospels that really comes from the divine viewpoint of Jesus in that He is the Son of God and does not mention in the opening any genealogy tying Him into any human beings. That's done in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in John, it's talking about His deity that ever existed with the Father and with the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, called the beginning here. And in these verses, we again pointed out last week that when Jesus Christ came into this earth as a human being, He was both God and man, deity and humanity, united in one person forever. Again, He is not 50% God and 50% man, but He is 100% God and 100% man. He is the only one. Say only one. Amen. Folks, it's so important today to realize Jesus is the only means of salvation. I know that we've known it before and taught it before, but in today, when so many people are thinking that we are bigoted, thinking that we are prejudiced, thinking that we are so opinionated by saying that Jesus is the only way, how do you know? When you know the truth is the truth. And so you can't change it and don't want to change it to please people. But on the other hand, again, He is the only one qualified to redeem mankind. Since He is 100% God and 100% man, as we pointed out, He can satisfy the claims of God because He is God, and He can satisfy the claims of man because He is man. We pointed out some things again, how that because He is God and man, He can lay one hand on God and one hand on man and unite the two impossibilities. This was brought out in Job, the 9th chapter, verses 2 and 3, and verses 32 and 33, that God redeemed us. And what it's saying there, Job said, I just wish there was an umpire, a mediator, an arbitrator between us both that could lay His hand one on God and one on man. The answer is, there is. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, as it says in 1 Timothy, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let me give you some titles in the Word of God that you probably already know, but let me just give you some titles for His humanity and for His deity. Titles for His humanity is Jesus. As Rob pointed out in the time of prayer today, Jesus was a popular name in His day. There were other Jesuses, even some found in the book of Acts. And it's reported in history that even Barabbas, that was released from prison and allowed to go in place of Jesus Christ, his first name was Jesus. He was Jesus Barabbas. Isn't that interesting? Jesus Barabbas, a type of us, we released so that Jesus Christ could be crucified in our place. What an incredible thing. So again, title for His humanity is Jesus. Another title for His humanity is the Son of Man, or the offspring of man. And through Mary, we find that Jesus Christ can be traced all the way back to David, to Abraham, and eventually back to Adam himself. Titles for His deity. Well, let me ask you a question. If Jesus is a title for His humanity, what's a title for His deity? Christ. And so, Christ is a title for His deity. He ever was Christ. But when He came into this earth, He took on the name Jesus. In fact, the angel said, you shall call His name Jesus. Then another title, if Son of Man is a title for His humanity, what's a title for His deity? Son of God. You're so smart this morning. Good. Are you awake? Okay, half of you said yes. The other half opened your eyes and said yes. All right. So He's also called the Son of God. Son of Man is a title for His humanity, and Son of God is a title for His deity. In theology, when you unite God and man together, you get a title called the hypostatic union. I'm not going to get into that and all of its ramifications, but let me give you some titles for His hypostatic union. If Jesus is a title for his humanity and Christ is a title for his deity, then his hypostatic union would be called Jesus Christ. So when you find Jesus Christ, it's a reference to his humanity and deity together. Or you could find it the other way around, Christ Jesus. And so we find it both ways. Another title for his hypostatic union is Son of David. The reason why is because God promised David a descendant, a son who would rule forever. Well, to come from David, he would have to be human. To rule forever, he would have to be deity. And so Jesus Christ fulfilled that, and even the angel announced on that day he would sit on the throne of his father David forever. Let me just give you something in passing that might help you. Most of the time when you find the title Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, it simply indicates the direction of the verse of Scripture. Because why do we find it one way one time and another way another time? Think of the verse, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," okay? "For this cause, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In one verse, we had Christ Jesus. In another verse, we had Jesus Christ. When you find the title Jesus Christ, the direction of the verse is usually from man toward God. When you find Christ Jesus, it's usually from God toward man. Such as, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I like to think of it this way. Because he's deity and humanity, it can flow right through deity, humanity, right to me. How are you glad for the healing power of God today? Amen? But when we praise him, we have to praise him what? Through the name of Jesus. That brings it to the Father. So again, we find titles found in the Word of God for his humanity, his deity, and for his union. Let's talk a little bit about some of the statements that Jesus made. Jesus spoke out of his humanity, and he spoke out of his deity, and he also spoke out of his hypostatic union. Let's talk about that for just a moment. He spoke out of his humanity. He said, "I thirst." How do you know deity can't thirst? I don't think God's ever had a drink of water. He doesn't need a drink of water because he never gets thirsty. But Jesus, out of his humanity on the cross, said, "I thirst." He also said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." How do you know that has to be humanity? Because deity never sleeps. So that had to be his humanity. So humanity could get hungry. Humanity could get thirsty. Humanity could sleep. And he simply points that out, that Jesus Christ could also identify with every need that we have. How do you know if we're hungry, we serve the God that supplies our daily bread? Jesus taught us how to pray that way. So those are some statements, and believe me, there are many of them. I only gave you a couple from his humanity. Let's talk about some statements that Jesus made directly from his deity. "Before Abraham was, I am." Wow. That's something. They looked at him and said, "How could you have seen Abraham? How could you have communicated with Abraham? How could you have been with Abraham? You're not even 50 years old." They were looking strictly at his humanity. He said, "Because before Abraham was, I am." And they picked up stones to kill him because that's the name of deity that he used. I am. But we find it here in John that before the world even was created, long before Abraham was here in his deity, Christ was already here. So he also again spoke from his deity. He also said, "I and the Father are one." Many more statements, but those are two of them where he said, "To see me is to see the Father. I and the Father are one." He also spoke from his hypostatic union. One of them was when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He first spoke from his humanity, "Come to me." And they would come. He said, "Then I will take and I will bless you, I will give you rest." He was talking there from his deity because only God can give us rest. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for just a moment. How many of you know that Jesus Christ was as much deity at 12 years old as he was at 30 years old? Deity never changes. You know, when the Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom and knowledge and stature with man and favor with God and man, how do you know that has to be Jesus, because deity cannot increase. It cannot grow up. It cannot mature. So Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So the title there is Jesus. It's referring to him as a small boy. And that reference came right after, at 12 years old, that he was in the temple and teaching and ministering and speaking and instructing out of the Word of God. So again, how do you know that his humanity learned and they were amazed at his humanity, but how do you know as deity he was as smart at 12 years old as he was from the foundation of the world? Deity doesn't grow up, does it? Let me ask you a question. Was he as much deity at 5 years old as he was at 30 years old? Yes, because deity doesn't grow up. See, where I'm getting into, and this is actually leading into next week, is Jesus didn't perform miracles because he was deity. He performed miracles as a human being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Because if he performed miracles because he was God at 5 years old, he could have made clay birds and thrown them in the air and they begin to fly away. But he never did. The Apocrypha teaches that, but he didn't do that because the Bible says he didn't even start doing miracles till he turned water into wine. When was that? Right after he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. I'm anticipating next week because you're going to be blessed next week. You're going to want to run out of here and find the first sick person you can find because you know what? You're Jesus in the flesh, anointed with the same Holy Spirit. I could preach it, but I'm not going to. That's next week. Previews of coming attractions. But in Hebrews chapter 10, here we have something that is... Let me ask you a question. Was he deity at 12? Was he deity at 30? Was he any less deity at 12 than he was at 30? No, deity never grows up, knows as much. Was he deity at 5? Yes, as much as when he was 12 or 30? Was he deity when he was born? Look what happened here in chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 5. When he came into the world, he said, we can stop right there and our brains have to fry for just a moment. When he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body have you prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, I come in the volume of the book. That's the Old Testament. It is written of me to do your will, O God. When did he say this? When he came into the world. He didn't say it from his humanity. Mary would have freaked out. That child laying in a manger was talking from his deity to his heavenly Father, and he said in that verse of Scripture, I have come to do your will in the volume of the Old Testament. I will come to fulfill it all, and now I am telling you, you prepared a body for me, and I am dedicating that body to full-time Christian service until the day that I die. He spoke from his deity to the Father. And here Hebrews tells us all about it, how that he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but you prepared a body for me. I will be your sacrifice in this earth for all of mankind. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let's talk about our message today. Although Jesus Christ came to die for us, and as a human being gave his life for us, and as a human being was created perfectly or born perfectly in this earth through the virgin birth, yet it's not his humanity that saves us today. His humanity gave the sacrifice, but how many of you know if you just believe that Jesus was a man, you're not going to go to heaven? People do that all the time. In fact, other religions say, well, he was a good man. Some even say he was a prophet. And that might be good and it might be true, but that will not save you. Folks, what will save you is the day that you believe that Jesus Christ was more than a man. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. In fact, 1 John tells us this. That is the mark of somebody who is truly born again, is that they believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Matthew 16, look with me at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Notice what he's asking. What's the common talk around? You've been in town. What are people saying in the streets? And what are they saying about me as a man, as a human being? Notice again, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the talk on the streets? That's why they answered the way they did. They said, some say you are John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some Elijah, come back from the dead. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. See, they're talking about him as a human being. You can believe he's a prophet. You can believe he's a great teacher, but that still will not save you. In verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? He baited them. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't have time to get into it, but the church was not founded on Peter. God would never found the church on such an up and down, wide swing, in and out, unstable person like Peter, any more than he would base the church on unstable you, okay? It's not based on you. I happen to be an unstable rock that was set on the stable rock, Jesus Christ. And because I'm on him, now I can become stable too. But the church wasn't founded on him, it was founded on Jesus. But here's the point. He said, you are Peter, and the Greek word here is Petros. And it actually means a stone, a tiny stone. It means a, you know, a piece of gravel. That's exactly what it means. He said, but upon this Petra, I will build my church. Petra, anybody ever been to the town of Petra? Petra is a large city built out of a mountain. Actually, people went in and carved a city out of a rock. You climb up the rock to get in there. You walk down streets carved out of rock. There's houses carved out of rock. There are buildings carved out of rock. And in fact, it's a whole city called Petra. And there's a singing group called Petra that came from this word. But the actual word means that what Jesus was saying, you are a sliver of a rock that just spit up a mountain. How can a sliver of a rock spit up a mountain? It's because the day that you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, something bigger than you are came out of your mouth. And the church is not built on you, it's built on the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what he said, Peter, on this rock. That what you've just said, what is the rock? Folks, you want to be born again? Then you simply admit that Jesus Christ is God. You admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you admit that Jesus Christ, again, in this verse, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is what brings new birth. This is what brings things into your life like this. Let me give you some other scriptures on that. Acts 16:31. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on Jesus Christ as Lord, and you shall be saved. So there we find again in that verse of Scripture that again, it's his deity we put our faith and trust in. To believe that he was a man, anyone can believe he's a man. Most all religions believe he came. Even people who are atheists, don't believe in God, believe that Jesus walked on this earth. And they might even say he was a good man, a nice man. Folks, he was more than a good man. He is the Son of God, the only means of salvation. Jesus Christ came into this earth, but again, he brought us salvation because he is a man. Let me give you some verses on that. Just write these down. Matthew 17:12, the Son of Man must suffer. Matthew 22:23, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him. Notice the Son of Man. Chapter 26 of Matthew in verse 2. The Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Matthew 28 and verse 5. The angel said to the women, this is at the tomb, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Ephesians 2:15. Abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, say Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And Hebrews 10:10, we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Why did Jesus have to come? Why couldn't we just accept God as we are? Because God could have no contact with us and we could have no contact with him. Why? He had to bridge that gap. There had to be a mediator. There had to be an arbitrator, someone that could stand between us and unite the two impossibilities. Well, first of all, we couldn't cross over to God's side to be redeemed. God couldn't come over to our side because we were sinners. But God could come to our side if he became a man. And to come to our side to redeem us, he had to be a perfect man. And that was the virgin birth. And so when he came over to our side and became a man, then he could truly die for us. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Say it again.
Death.
The wages of sin is?
Death.
Well, if for God to pay it, he can't die. For us to pay it, we couldn't. We were already dead. Problem right there, isn't there? So God had to come to our side to pay it. Let me give you some attributes of God. First of all, as I pointed out, although God could come over on our side to redeem us, he had to become a human being to do so. Because as God, he could not die. Christ had to become a human being. Jesus, so that he could die, because as deity, he could not die. Deity is absolute righteousness. On the cross, he had to become sin, and God could not be sin, nor could he associate with sin, but as a human being, he could. God is absolute divine love. How do you kill love? God is eternal life. As deity, how do you kill God? Eternal life cannot die. God is omnipresent. As deity, Jesus Christ was omnipresent. How do you reduce omnipresence down to one spot and kill it? You can't do it. Next of all, he's omnipotent. How do you reduce all power down to one spot and kill it? Because it can't be done if God remained God only. He's immutable, unchangeable. He said he cannot die. For God to come and die, he would have to change. If he changed, he would not be immutable. If he wasn't immutable, he wouldn't be God. Death contradicts every character of deity. The only way he could redeem us was to become a human being and then pay the ransom price on the cross. As deity, think about this. Even if deity could have died, it can't. But even if deity could have died, what good would it do me? I'm not deity. The cross was substitution. God cannot substitute for mankind. The only way he could substitute for mankind was to become an equal with us. And therefore, by becoming a human being, he could go to the cross and die for us. The good news is God did it. Came over and became a human being so that he could die for us. God had to become a man to redeem mankind. The work of the cross, again, is substitution. So we find again that he came over through the virgin birth, and there he redeemed us once and for all. I've told you this before, but I want to say it for those who haven't heard and kind of rub it into those who have. Adam and Eve came into this earth created free. They weren't born, they were created free. And they were given an option. And there the Lord told them not to partake of the tree that was in the garden. But they did. Eve first and then Adam. By doing that, Adam and Eve voluntarily walked into the slave market. They became slaves to Satan. Through the nature of the flesh that was given to them and spiritual death, they became slaves. And all mankind from that time on has been slaves. The child of a slave is a what? Slave. Children of slaves are slaves. It's not the fact that one day they become a slave, they're born slaves. You understand that? Children of slaves are born slaves. We don't come into this earth and become a sinner, we're born sinners. Because we came from the original sinners, Adam and Eve. So when the time Adam and Eve had Cain, or probably had Seth, and Cain and Abel, all of those were born slaves. And so the ransom price of a slave is death. The wages of sin is death. And so there was a ransom price that was set there. But I don't care how cheap you make the ransom price. A slave cannot free himself, because what is the wages of a slave? Nothing. Let me ask you this. How ridiculous is it for a slave to work harder than the next slave, thinking that will get him free, because slaves don't get paid anything. The harder you work, you still make the same salary. That's the stupidity of a sinner thinking he can work for salvation. A hardworking slave and a lazy slave. You know what the bottom line is? They're both slaves. You don't pay a hard-working slave more than a non-working slave. You don't pay him anything. Therefore, the hardest working sinner cannot work himself out of slavery into freedom. It takes someone who is free to release the slaves. The good news in as after all these centuries, here's what happens. Slaves can't free slaves. Buddha was born a slave. Buddha can free no one. Muhammad was born a slave. A slave cannot free slaves. I don't care what religious leader you name, they cannot redeem us because they're born of man and woman tracing back to the fallen Adam. They cannot redeem us. There was one promise given in Genesis chapter 3 of the one that could save us. He would come of the seed of the woman outside of a man, and when he was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ was born free. Born free. Adam and Eve were created free but voluntarily walked into the slave market, and everybody born since that time have been slaves unless you could come through a virgin birth. Jesus did. He was born into this earth free, and he was not the second Adam. He was the last Adam, God's last choice. The only way Jesus could have become a sinner, the only way he could have become a slave was like Adam and Eve. He could have voluntarily walked into Satan's kingdom, but in every temptation he said no. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And when he went to the cross, he was the only one that could pay the price, because only a free person can free slaves. And the good news is, when he arose from the dead, the door to the slave market was thrown wide open. All you have to do is walk out. Walk out. That's the great message. And that's what Jesus did by becoming a human being and coming to this earth outside of the curse on all mankind. And Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the slave market. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm here to tell you today, you can't work and open up the slave market door. You cannot give money and open up the slave market door. You can't pray and open up the slave market door, because it cannot be opened from the inside. It had to be opened from the outside. Jesus Christ did it. The good news is the door stands wide open. How stupid to stay in a jail cell when the door stands wide open. Father, we bless you today, and we thank you for the eternal free gift of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to redeem us and set us free. And Father, my prayer right now is that anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will accept him. Father, I thank you for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that's here right now. I thank you for the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.